for the polls, we wait quietly before the Lord. Could you please play Be Still My Soul? The Lord is on thy side.
The Lord reveals himself to us in stillness and gives us sight of himself that sometimes we don't get any other way. There are some things about God, many things about God, this is quite an understatement, that we cannot understand, fully comprehend, especially with our natural mind. And there's much that God, by his Spirit, yet wants to reveal to us. And that's good, and that's healthy for us. It creates within us a sense of awe that God is far beyond, far above anything that we can imagine, fully appreciate. And that creates within us an attitude of reverence and an attitude of humility. And it shuts our mouth. We discover that we don't have to tell God how to run the universe anymore, that he knows exactly what he's doing, that it's good for us to get still and let God speak. Let's get still and let God work. Get out of his way. I often think that when we have these times of silence, that that's exactly what we're doing. We're just getting out of his way. All our human activity, we're just laying aside. It's like when you're on the operating table. I've been there for certain procedures, and I knew the best thing I could do was lie as perfectly still as possible and let the surgeon take care of what needs to be taken care of. I didn't try to help him. I gave him no advice. I just lay perfectly still. And when we're in the presence of God, sometimes the Holy Ghost says, I appreciate your worship and your praise. Your prayers come to up before me as incense. But now I just want to settle you and get you still, because there's some things I want to do that you know nothing about. And there's ways in which I want to reveal myself to you, and I need you to get quiet, and I need you to get still before me and let me do it. And then our great physician ministers to us, our wonderful Savior, our baptizer. He comes and he works in us. Some people don't know what to do with these times of silence, and some churches never have them. Because some people say, come on, what's going on? Doesn't anybody know any songs? Did the preacher run out of sermons? And so to keep the people happy, we keep singing and keep talking. But we need to be very sensitive to the fact that there are times when the Lord wants to put silence upon us, and we don't have to understand what he's doing. We just stand in awe of him. Who can comprehend the incarnation? We try to figure it out and understand it, but who can comprehend that mystery? Who can comprehend Calvary? Fully comprehend that? We understand enough to know that God manifested his great love for us and his great hatred for sin. But to really understand the depths of Calvary, it's impossible. But by revelation, who can understand the resurrection? Who can understand? There's so much about God. That's why the Apostle Paul, when he's talking about the Lord, he has to stop and he has to cry out, oh, the depth of the wisdom and knowledge of God. It's beyond our comprehension. And then he had to just take time to worship. Just to worship. I talk to different people like Jehovah's Witnesses, and they don't believe in a Trinity because they can't understand a Trinity. And if I can't understand it and I can't explain it, then it must not exist. And people do that with the Bible all the time. They try to force God into their own understanding. They try to interpret the Word of God with their natural understanding. And what it does is it makes God very small. And then there's no reverence. There's no awe. He's one of us. But when we say, Lord, you open these truths to me, you'll find that there'll be many times when you just sense, this is beyond me. This is beyond me. This is God. And you'll feel very small, and God will become very big. And that's healthy as Christians. We read in our morning devotion about the fear of God this morning and the reverence that we have for this holy God. When Isaiah got a sight of how holy God was, although he had been serving him, this greater revelation caused him to cry, woe is me, I am undone. And then the Lord touched him and prepared him for further ministry. And so I remember reading a book on reverence, and it said, you know, reverence is that healthy distance between us and God. We're seeing much at camp, come close, come closer, get as close as you can. But also we need that understanding that there's a distance that's maintained as well. And with my children, I'm not their buddy, I'm their father. And yet I love them like no one else does, maybe my wife. And in order for me to be the greatest blessing to them, there has to be a distance. If they get too familiar, they don't listen to what I say. I can't protect them. I can't instruct them. They don't take it. But if they reverence me or respect me, then I can do so much more for them. That's why it's so important we teach that to our children. And if I maintain that reverence, that holy, healthy fear of God in my heart toward the Lord, oh, I benefit by that. And God is able to accomplish in my life more perfectly what he desires. And so The Lord seems to have just drawn very near to us this morning. Some of us sense it, maybe some of us don't, but that's okay. When the meeting gets quiet, just close your eyes and say, Lord, I love you, Jesus. Have your way. Reveal yourself to me. And then just wait and love him. And that time will be well spent. And we'll see the fruit of those moments in our lives. Let's sing that song, Be Still My Soul. It's in this book, 332.
Be still my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief and pain. Brave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, be faithful, will remain. Be still my soul, my best I am, my friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be of all. salvation. Thou art our hope through all eternity. Of thy great love we've fully been persuaded. Thou Son of God, we worship thee.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We adore you, Jesus. Jesus, precious Savior. Oh, we love you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you, Lord. Lord, we pray that you'll fill us with wonder today as we consider our Savior. Pray that you'll put your fear upon these grounds in our hearts, Lord, as we serve you here and seek you together. Lord, we pray that you'll give us all a greater sight of Jesus than we've ever had before. Oh, there's no end to you, God. We thank you that we can plunge into the depths and experience more of who you are and the great victory that you've won for us. Pray that you'll do that for the campers as well, Lord. Even at their young ages, we pray that you'll give them a great sight of Jesus. Make them to see that there's one who much greater than they are, one who has all power in heaven and earth, and he doesn't want to use that power to hurt them, but to help them, to protect them, to provide for them, to bless them. We pray for these young girls maybe that have grown up in Christian homes and tend to get used to hearing the stories. Lord, breathe life into their hearts. Open their eyes. Let there be an awakening, a realization of who Jesus is and how precious he is. Lord, we ask that you'll visit this camp today, and that in all of our gatherings, in all of our fellowship, that you will manifest yourself, and that you will be pleased with what you're able to accomplish as we look to you. Have your way in this meeting this morning. Thank you for the things you've called to our attention already. And we know you have more for us yet. And so we praise you. Amen. Let's also sing the song, Holy, Holy, Holy. That's also a very precious song. There it is, 51. While I think of it, I want to remind the staff that we have a prayer meeting at 4:15 today. So if you're not on duty, you should be there, and you should come prepared to pray, and to pray out. And, of course, any of the guests are always welcome to join us in our prayer meetings. So that'll be at 4:15 this afternoon. You'll hear the bell, I'm sure. Okay, let's sing 51.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God.
Last year, there was a family that came up with little children, they couldn't stay. There, something came up; they had to go home. And I remember my wife; she was weeping a little bit over that. I said, "Well, you know, it's not the end of the world; they'll come back." She said, "I know, but I remember the tremendous effort it was to get the family to camp, all the packing, and then to finally get here and then have to turn around and go home." That was, she as a mother, I guess, felt that more keenly than I did. I usually just put the suitcases in the car. And so I see all these mothers with these young children and trying to keep the babies quiet. Don't be under strain about that. I'm sure babies cried when Jesus was preaching too, and didn't bother him. Of course, if they go on and on, it's always nice to get them out of the room. But we haven't had that problem. Praise God. One time we had a lady when I was in Fredericksburg, Virginia, young minister. And we had some sort of Christmas program, and there was some baby making a little bit of noise. And so I thought that I would make the mother feel very comfortable by saying, "No, you know, if you have any babies," and we were just so happy to have the babies. Christmas is for the whole family, and, you know, don't worry if they make any noise. After the meeting, the mother came to me. She was so hurt and so insulted that I called attention to her baby crying, and it had the total opposite effect that I wanted. So I've tried not to mention that, but I just probably haven't mentioned it for 40 years. So here I go again. Amen.